Praise God. Praise God. Spirit of God here this morning?
Yes.
Pray with me. Father, we come in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, we ask that the Spirit of God would have His way. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here this morning that is struggling in some way, I pray, God, that You would reveal Yourself to them. If there's someone that is broken, I pray, God, that You would begin to mend. And if there's someone that does not know You this morning, I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would begin to just pierce their heart. Help them understand that it is You that they seek and that it is You that they are looking for. I pray, Lord, for the message that You have laid on my heart. And I pray, God, that You would help me to preach it this morning, Lord. Give me the words and the recall and then open eyes and ears and hearts that they might receive it. Lord, we love You this morning. We're not here for each other this morning. We're here for You. So we ask now, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, that You would join us, lead us, and guide us. And it's in Your name that we ask, Father. Amen. When Jesus was about 30 years old, He began His ministry. That ministry lasted somewhere around three and a half years. And during that time in ministry, Jesus, He called His disciples and asked them to come follow Me. He began to work with them and train them. These were men that were unlearned and unschooled according to the Word of God. And He began to work with them and help them understand who He was and what His mission was all about. For 3.5 years, Jesus worked with these men. For 3.5 years, these men watched Him as He taught and preached, as He brought healing to those who were sick. They were there with Him when He raised Lazarus from the dead, when He moved that stone back and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus come out with his grave clothes on. The disciples were there. They were there when He brought forth Legion, the man who was filled with all of the demons and the spirits, and He cast them into the herd of pigs. The disciples saw that. They were in the boat the night He walked on the water and called Peter out of the boat. They were there. For 3.5 years, these men were with Jesus, and they saw what was going on, and they'd done everything that they could to try and imitate Him, and they even went forth to bring healing and preaching when He sent them out. Disciples, men of God, after that 3.5 years was over, Jesus' time on this earth was coming to a close, and He knew it. So as He began to make His way toward Jerusalem, the Word of God says to us in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 31, He says that Jesus took the 12 aside, and He told them, He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man, it will be fulfilled." He said, "He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock Him, insult Him, spit on Him, flog Him, and kill Him." But then look what He said. "On the third day, He will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what He was talking about. You know, after being with Jesus for a little over 3 years and seeing the miracles that this man performed, after seeing Him literally stand at the front of a tomb and call forth a dead man and Him come out of that tomb, after literally seeing Him spit on the ground and take that mud and put it on the eyes of a blind man and Him being able to see, after seeing all of these things, they didn't understand that. A man that can literally call forth the dead, and here you are telling me that they're going to spit on you and flog you and kill you? I don't understand that. They didn't get it. All they saw was the power. They saw Jesus. They knew that God had sent Him. They knew that He was the Messiah. They knew that he was the one that the prophets had spoke about. They knew. So they didn't understand what he was saying. You see, they still believed that Jesus was going to restore all of the power back to the Jews. They still believed Jesus was going to be that mighty Messiah that literally set the kingdom where it needed to be. They didn't understand that. Although Jesus tried his best to explain it. Jesus tried to help them understand. The Word of God says this morning in our scripture that after Jesus had finished talking with them and trying to help them understand, it goes on to say in verse 35 there of Luke, that as they were making their way into Jerusalem, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, it says a blind man, Mark calls this man by name, says his name is Bartimaeus. And he says, as they were entering into Jericho, he said a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Listen to me. Back in Israel, the majority of the employment involved some type of physical labor. When you went to work back in Israel, it was something to do with your hands, something that you used your back for. So if you were disabled, if you had some kind of a blindness, a disability, an infirmity, something that kept you from being able to literally use all of your body, man, nobody would hire you. They wouldn't give you a job. And so many of these people, these men who had these infirmities, if they didn't have a loved one to take care of them, a family member that had finances enough to feed them and help them get through life, these men were forced to beg. They would sit alongside the road. Can you even imagine? Can you imagine getting up every morning and going and finding a place where you can sit and beg people to feed you? That's what he was doing. He was forced into this life of begging because he had this infirmity. He was blind. Nobody would hire him. He was a blind man. Many of the people in the Jewish culture, they believed that he was that way, that God had allowed him to be that way because of the sin in his life. Or because of the fact that his parents sinned. Do you know our culture is not too far from that? Listen to me. How many times have you yourself found your life falling apart? How many times have you not had control of something that was going on in your life, and all you could see, all you could feel, all you could hear was the storm going on around you, and you didn't understand it? And so you got on your face before God and you cried out to Him and you said, God, what did I do wrong? What have I done that's got this all this on me, Lord? I've been a good person and I've done all that I know how to do, Lord. I've given everything that I've got. You ever done that? Why am I like this? What did I do? See, we're not too far from the way the Jews believed because we have all done the same thing. Every one of us at some point in time in our life has fell on our face and said, God, why is this happening to me? Maybe something's going on in your life right now that you don't understand. And maybe right now you're crying out to God and you're saying, why? Why is this happening in my life? Did I sin? Did I do something wrong? I'm going to take you over and show you what Jesus had to say about this. In John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, as he went along, speaking of Jesus, that he saw a man blind from birth. This is a different man. He said, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. You see, church, what's happening here, sometimes when you're going through all of this garbage in your life and this brokenness in your life, it's not necessarily because something went wrong and you got out there and sinned. Maybe God's wanting to show his glory or his power through your life. And so God will allow something to happen in your life so that at a later time, God can reach down and just put the power of God in you. Bring healing to you. We have a gentleman in our church. His name is Jeff. And back in 1999, when I first came to this church, he was literally pushing needles into his legs so that he could walk. He had contracted multiple sclerosis. He had an electric wheelchair that the state had bought for him. He was on disability. And his life ahead of him was very grim. And I can assure you that there were times in his life when he cried out, God, did I do something wrong? But in October of 1999, God stepped up and he said, I'm going to show you why you're this way. He said, I'm going to show you because the glory of God is about to be revealed in your life. And in October of 99, God healed him. Took the wheelchair away. No more needles. No more disability. God may have something planned for your life. God may want the power of the Holy Spirit to shine through. And maybe that's why you're dealing with something right now. This passage goes on to tell us that while this blind man is sitting on the roadside begging, he says in verse 36, it says, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Y'all stay with me here. You know, there was always a crowd with Jesus. He took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 men and their families. 5,000. The Word of God tells us there was a time when there were so many people around the house that he was staying that 4 men had to take their friend up onto the roof and lower him through the roof because they couldn't get to the door. There was always a crowd around Jesus. Some of those people were there because they loved him. They had a sincere love for Jesus. Others were followed him because they feared him. Some followed him just simply because they had a need of some sort and they had heard that he was able to take care of those needs, while others just simply were curious. Let me ask you something. Look up here. Why are you here this morning? Every one of us follows Jesus for a reason or another. Are you here because you love him? Is that why you get up every morning and find your way to the church, or every Sunday morning and find your way to the... Are you here because you love him? Are you here because you're afraid you're going to go to hell if you don't? Is that why you're here? You're afraid of him? Fear? Maybe you have a need this morning. Maybe you have a need this morning and maybe that's why you're here. Because you know that Jesus Christ has the ability to take that need and cast it as far as the west is from the east or the east is from the west. Maybe you're curious. Maybe you don't know this Jesus, but you've heard a lot about him. Maybe you're curious. There's always been a crowd that followed Jesus for one reason or another. And as the blind man sat on the side of the road, the crowd that was following Jesus was going by, and he asked them, he says, what's happening? And in verse 37, they told him, they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. You see, he had heard of Jesus. He is blind, but he had heard of this Jesus. He had heard that this Jesus is the one who called Lazarus from the tomb. The word of Jesus had spread throughout Galilee that there was this man. He was able to cast out the demons, raise the dead. He was there. Jesus was there when the centurion was come forth. And it was Jesus that brought his daughter back. You see, the blind man, he had heard all about Jesus. And the word of God says in verse 38, so he called out to him, Look in verse 38. He called out and he said, Jesus! He said, Son of David! Son of David. See, the Old Testament teaching said that when the Messiah comes, he's going to come from the line of David. The Old Testament teaching says that he will come and he will restore the sight to the blind. He will heal the sick and give the deaf back, give those who are dead back their life. And this blind man, he's understanding that this Messiah is passing by him. So he calls out to him, Jesus! He said, Son of David, Messiah! Have mercy on me! Have compassion on me! He's saying. Imagine this. A man who has nothing, no life, and he says, have compassion on me. Look in verse 39. Those who led the way, they rebuked him. They rebuked him and they told him, they said, you be quiet. Jesus has no time for a blind beggar like you. You be quiet. He has no time for the likes of you. We're talking about the Jesus, the Messiah here. He has no time to deal with someone such as you. No time. But look what he did. Look what the blind man did. He shouted all the more, Son of David! Jesus! He said, have mercy on me. He wasn't going to stop. He was pouring himself out. He was crying out. He wasn't going to stop because somebody said, he has no time for you. He wasn't going to stop because people were saying, you're not good enough. You see, he realized that this Jesus could make him whole. This Jesus could give him back his life. And so he poured himself out and he cried out to the Messiah. And I love verse 40. Verse 40 says, Jesus stopped. Listen. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to give his life for us. His heart is broken. He knows what lies ahead of him. He had just told his disciples that he was going to be turned over to the Gentiles. They would spit on him. They would flog him and beat him, hang him on a cross, and that he would die with nails in his hands and his feet. And with all of this going on in his mind and in his heart, knowing that this is where he's going, still yet, when this man called out, Jesus stopped. I want to tell you something, church. Jesus will always stop for a cry of persistent faith. When Jesus hears persistent faith, listen to me, not repetitious calling, not someone who truly maybe believes. When someone really calls out to Jesus with all of their heart and soul, with everything that they have from the soles of their feet to the crown of their head, Jesus will stop. He will always stop. But he will not stop for half-hearted faith, half-hearted belief. Jesus stops when we cry a cry of persistent faith. It says Jesus stopped. Look what he said. It says, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. I love what Mark said. In Mark 10, Mark said in 10:49, I think it is there. He said, Jesus ordered the man to be called to him. He said, so they called to the blind man, cheer up! Get on your feet! He's calling you! Mark said, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. He jumped to his feet. He said, he heard me! He heard my cry! He heard me! He heard my cry. He said in verse 40, when he came near, he said, Jesus, ask him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said in verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want money? You're a blind beggar on the side of the road. Do you want money? Do you want food? Do you need shoes? Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? You see, that's the question that you brought into this sanctuary, this auditorium this morning. What is it, church, that you want Jesus to do for you? Right now. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? Look what the man said. He said, Lord, I just want to see. He said, Lord, I just want to see. I want my life back. You want your life back? Has something taken your life? Has something stolen that from you? He said, I just want to see, Lord. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for food or shoes or a new cloak. I just want to see. And Jesus, he said in verse 42, he said, receive your sight. He said, for your faith has healed you. He didn't say, I've healed you. He didn't say, receive your sight, for God has healed you. He said, receive your sight, for your faith has healed you. You see, Jesus saw the man. Jesus heard the man. And then Jesus answered the man. And after Jesus healed him, he said, your faith has healed you. Mark, in Mark chapter 10, verse 52, the New King James Version says, he told him, he said, go your way. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. But you know what? The guy didn't go his way. The guy didn't go back home. He didn't go running into the town square screaming that Jesus has healed me. He didn't go shouting to everybody what Jesus had done. Look in verse 42. He said, receive your sight. And then he said in verse 43, immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let me tie all this together for you. This was Jesus, look up here. This was Jesus' last trip through Jericho. He would never go through Jericho again. If the blind beggar had kept silent, he would have been blind and he would have been disabled. He would have been struck for the rest of his life. All the days of his life, if he had kept silent, he would have remained that way. But he didn't keep silent. He spoke out his need. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus answered. But it's very important that we hear something. In verse 40, it says to us that Jesus stopped. And where it says that Jesus stopped, it says there in verse 40 that he ordered the man to be brought to him. He ordered the man to be brought to him. You notice Jesus didn't stop and then go to him. Jesus expected him to get up and make that move to come to him. And then Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" This morning, would y'all stand up? Let's stand up and begin to bring our service to a close. Stand up if you're able. I need your attention just for a moment. This morning may be the last time that Jesus ever passes through your life. Today, your very life may be demanded from you. And today may be the very last time, right now, that Jesus passes before you. He says to you this morning, "What do you want me to do for you? Do you want to see?" Do you have a need? Is there something going on in your life where you need my help? Jesus said, "I have come to restore sight to the blind. I've come to raise those who are spiritually dead. I've come to mend up the brokenhearted and heal the sick. What do you want me to do for you?" If Bartimaeus would have said, when Jesus said, "Bring him to me," if Bartimaeus would have said, "Oh, but I'm blind. I'd rather stand here and hold on to the back of this chair so that I can be stable." Would Jesus have healed him? Jesus said, "You come to me. You come to me. And you tell me what it is that I can do for you." And he said, "And you watch the power of God begin to move. You watch the power of God be displayed." What is it that he can do for you this morning? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to say to you, these altars are open. If you're visiting with us this morning, or if you've been here forever, these altars are for you. I don't care what denomination you were raised in, or if there was even an altar in your church. I don't care. This isn't about another church or another time. This right now is about you and Jesus and what he can do for you. I believe with all of my heart, when I was preparing this message and getting everything put together, I felt within my spirit the Spirit of God is going to move on someone this morning. This could be the day that He sets you free. But you're going to have to move. You're going to have to come. And you're going to have to tell Him what it is that He can do for you. So you can do one of two things. You can stand right where you are, or you can let go of the back of that chair. We sing about how He is mighty to save and how He can move those mountains. You got a mountain this morning? Father, I just come in the name of Jesus, and I ask You, Father, just move on the people's hearts and do what You have to do. Do what You need to do. For those, Lord God, who are broken, hurt, sick, blind, troubled, may the Spirit of God move. If there's someone here that does not know You this morning, reveal it to them. I don't care if they've been going to church for 20 years, reveal it to them. Move on them. Bring them forward and ask them, what do You want me to do for You? In Jesus' name I pray.